The Sthita Prajna of the Gita is not one who remains quiet. His sthita, his prajna is sthita, but it is not as if it is incapable of action. While doing all kinds of actions, he is still sthira. So, his mind is in such a state that is at once mobile and immobile. And his individuality expresses itself through that mental activity. So if our surface mind becomes so much tuned to the psychic being, to our soul, that our mind is able to progress according to the needs of the soul constantly, then the mind becomes immortal. So that even when the body falls, that mind will remain and will be always available to you in your next birth or wherever you go. Whenever you need it, it is always available to you because it has become immortal. Similarly, if the vital being is so developed, if the surface vital becomes tuned to the psychic being, then the vital being also becomes immortal. Even the physical can become immortal if the surface physical being is made tuned to the inner soul and its need of progress. You don't need to degrade the body at all. You can constantly remain the same body and go on progressing without the death. Now this last portion is a very long subject. I just said very briefly, but that itself is a very, very, very difficult and very long subject. But in the totality of immortality, that also is to be seen. The psychic being by nature is immortal. Even though it moves from step to step, from birth to birth, it does not die. It does not disintegrate. And that is why it is the soul which is the greatest helper. It is again the Purohita, because it is itself immortal. And therefore it can build immortal mind, immortal life, immortal body. So, essential immortality is the essential immortality of the Purushottama. The realization of it is the first realization of immortality. Amritam Ashnute, when we enjoy immortality, is that immortality which we enjoy, even while in the body. The second is the knowledge that our soul is immortal. The third is to make our mind immortal, our life immortal, our body immortal. This triple immortality of body, life and mind, translating the essential immortality by the instrumentality of the immortal soul. Right? So this is the whole task that we are here on the earth to accomplish. And that is why the rebirth and justification of it and how we can deal with rebirth ultimately. All right. Actually, last time I had finished what I wanted to say, but I still felt that I will elucidate a few points. So, I will make some precisions about a few ideas. First is the precision about karma, a term which is used so often in our country. Karma actually means action, means work. And work means a will which is put upon energy to produce a result. So you will see there are two elements. There is a will and there is energy. And the result comes out of this application of will on energy. The will is often called sankalpa. Now, will itself emerges out of a great silence. The bedrock on which any will works is the bedrock of silence. So you might say silence controls the will. Will is never so very imperious that it can contradict the silence. If the silence wants that no will should manifest, the will will not manifest. And silence is always a state of perfection. Whenever there is a complete silence, it's a state of perfection. It does not need anything. Whenever there is imperfection, there is no silence. Even psychologically, you will observe that when there is imperfection, there is restlessness and there is some kind of trembling. But when there is no need of anything, then there is automatic silence. So silence is normally a condition of perfection. And all will basically emerges out of silence. Not because silence needs anything. So if there is a will which manifests, it manifests because the silence permits it, you might say. It is one way of delighting itself. It has a delight in not willing, it has a delight in willing, both ways. So the origin of karma, of will, sankalpa, is always in silence. Silence is also called the state of freedom, because there is nothing that impels silence to will or not to will. So it is a state of freedom. So we can again say that will arises out of the state of freedom. Now this freedom is not abridged when there is a will or when there is no will. Either way, it is always complete. So without the will it is complete. With the will also it is complete. That is why we have the famous verse of the Upanishad, Purnamadaha Purnamidam. This also is perfect and that also is perfect. So the origin of will, origin of karma is in freedom and perfection. And the origin of karma is therefore in the Supreme Divine Himself. So you might say that the Supreme Himself is the real doer. He has the real karma. But his state of karma is always in a state of freedom. That is why in the Gita, Sri Krishna says, I have nothing which I have to attain, and yet I am eternally engaged in action. I am constantly engaged in action. Now that is the real origin of karma, basically. Now since each one of us is a portion of that divine, whenever he wills, that will belongs to us also, because we are portion of him. And we willingly participate in that willing. So karma belongs to each one of us in a subsidiary manner, not in the original manner. Origin is his, but in a subsidiary manner it belongs to each one of us. Now each one of us is a portion of the divine, but each one of us is a specificity, so that each one is distinguishable from the other. We are all inseparable from each other, but distinguishable from each other. So that the function of each one is different from the function of the other. Each one of us, therefore, has a specific becoming. The will of the Supreme which is working works in each one of us in a specific manner. It works in me in one way, works in you another way, works in the other person in another way. It's the same will but working specifically and differently in each of the individuals. And at the root of the things, these differences constitute a harmony. They do not collide, they do not conflict. The work, the will manifesting through me, work manifesting through you, work manifesting through her, is such that they will combine together to create a real harmony, like an orchestra of music. The different strings will give out music each one specifically, valid for each one, but on the whole, it will create a beautiful harmony by itself. So originally, therefore, in the working of each one of us, there is a complete harmony. And each one of us originally is capable of the same thing that Divine is capable of, silence, perfection, and no will is overpowering that silence. So originally, each one of us is free. Each one of us is freely manifesting a will which is specific to oneself. The manifestation of the will is what is called becoming. In Sanskrit it is called bhava. Bhu bhavati, to become. So bhava is becoming. And each one of us is swa. Everyone is oneself. That is in Sanskrit swa. Therefore, what becomes of the will manifesting through each one is each one's swabhava. And the specific will which is manifesting through each one is his swakarma. And the manner in which it becomes, and the law or the manner, law of the manner of becoming, is swadharma. So in the original condition, each one knows exactly what he has to do. Each one knows the manner of doing it. Each one knows the law of the manner of becoming. And since each one of us is manifesting one will, there is an underlying unity, an underlying harmony.